Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass, and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Hey, everybody. So glad you are dialed into Tech Vibe Radio this Friday night. This is one of these great shows where I got to hit the road and do a lot of different interviews with people. And tonight, we have a really cool, unique mix of companies from universities to consultancies to a really cool tech guy that founded MapQuest. But we're kicking off the show with somebody that I was really excited to interview. Just got the opportunity to get in front of him. And we have retired Lieutenant General Richard Zimmler hanging out with us tonight. I don't think I've interviewed a general before in my 12, 13 years of doing a radio show. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, Jonathan, for the invitation to be here with you, and I hope it's not a disappointment, but thanks for the gracious welcome to join you.
Absolutely. Now, so you're with the Center for Naval Analysis,
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And you're talking about some really interesting stuff. You just engaged our membership here, all about energy and alternative energy within the military, energy resiliency. What's going on?
Thank you, John. The Center for Naval Analysis has been involved in a variety of studies. We got our start back in 1942 as a think tank for anti-submarine warfare, going back
really?
To that in the association with
I love stories
the
like
Department
that.
Of the Navy. And over the years, we became a think tank that looks mostly at operations analysis within the Department of the Navy. In 2006, CNA formed the Military Advisory Board, which was a stable, if you will, of retired three and four star Navy admirals, Army, Marine Corps generals, Air Force generals. And the central theme at the time was to take a look at those sort of issues related to energy. We started out with our very first study, and your listeners can go to CNA.org and pull up all of our 8 studies. But they've all been generally energy-related, beginning with a look at the risk caused by climate change and some of the adaptation challenges that have come from that. But we've looked at energy from powering our defense, energy from powering our economy. We've looked at the stress of water shortages throughout the globe and the impact on American resources to be part of those solutions.
Right.
And most recently, we looked at the emerging role of advanced energy technologies. We think we are sitting on the precipice right now about a sea change of where the globe is going.
Right.
If we look at population growth in the next to mid-century, you'll see the world population go from 7.9 to 9 billion. You'll see...
And that's a quantum jump right
there.
You're talking billions of people more on the planet.
You'll see the population of Africa almost double. You'll see India, the population of India in the next decade, surpass that of China. China. We see equally a demand for energy increasing by a third in the next 20 to 30 years.
I mean, the last time I looked, no one's using less energy or intends to use less energy.
Yeah. And there was a hiatus there in the from about 2006 to about 2015 where energy usage, consumption on part of America had begun to drop. And that was all the good sign. It was probably driven by a weak economy and some of the challenges with the price of oil. But we've seen a tick already here in the last
I've seen the prices going up already.
Well, you see the price coming back up because oil's coming up, which may be the result of a backward, you know, you see this energy in the global economy.
Right.
But we're seeing usage in America beginning to come up for the first time in about 10 years. And so we would say that while, you know, we're not being alarmist and saying the house is on fire, we are saying that we still import 10 million barrels of oil per day. We still consume more than we produce. So in the out years, and when you look at the energy demands of these population growths, it's not all going to be provided by fossil fuel, legacy,
exactly.
Traditional fuels. And this is where we see these advanced energy technologies, wind, solar, geothermal, hydro, all these technologies are being embraced globally, but less so here in America.
Exactly.
And we see as those new relationships that are driven by China, driven by Russia, driven by Iran, as we make those transitions to these new energy models, we think America is lagging behind. And our concern is if there is a role for American leadership globally, we need to get on board with this change that's
Definitely.
Happening right now before our very eyes.
So what brought you to Pittsburgh to explore some of the technologies that are coming out of the Pittsburgh area? Tell us more about that.
Absolutely. Part of our process is when we do a study and we get it out, then is to get out on the road and talk about the study.
So you're on like a road tour right now.
Well, we are now, and yeah. I was down in Chattanooga, Tennessee a couple of weeks ago. But it's to talk about the work that we're doing, to try to educate, inform the debate. We are apolitical. We're nonpartisan. We don't get behind specific legislation per se, but we want to inform the debate. We want to be advocates for renewables and clean energy, and from a perspective of national security.
Right.
So part of it is to get out and make the local populations here familiar with the work that we're doing. But equally important is for me to hear back and see what the states are doing. You know,
so you bring that back to this. To the
absolutely,
CNA
we go back and it's kind of at the end of the summer. We'll go back to D.C. and Zilmer. What did you do on your vacation?
This is what I found out.
And then you come out here, and that's the good news. The good news is you see. We would say absent a strategic vision from Washington on national energy, energy independence,
absolutely.
And national security, you see what the states are doing. And it would be a different model if I went to Cleveland, if I went to Indianapolis, if I went to Denver, if I went to Charleston, if I went to Florida. All the states, the good news is all the states are doing something
different,
something good. The bad news is we got 50 states doing
different
things. And we think the piece missing, and this is not a criticism of this administration or the last or any administration, is we think the problem, the future problem, is that great that we need a national vision
for
energy.
And you can help guide that then. I mean,
we try
this is why I sleep better at night, knowing there's men and women like you out there that are focusing on this and studying this so we can get ourselves around it.
Well, we have a team. For every study, we put about a dozen together. And once the study's out, then many of us go over to Capitol Hill.
Right.
We've staffers on Capitol Hill. We've been all over the country. Any group that will listen to us, we are happy to talk to them.
Absolutely. It's all about educating and getting people aligned as far as that is. So if people go to CNA.org?
CNA.org.
Okay.
And you'll find our studies there. You'll find a little bit about the Military Advisory Board.
Definitely.
And we're 501c3.
Absolutely.
And most of our study money comes from private donations.
Right.
And we're looking, you know, next meeting, what do we do next?
Exactly.
What's the next one we want to look at? So, CNA.org.
So we've got about a minute left. I don't want to put you too much on the spot. What are your thoughts of Pittsburgh real quick?
Hey, I'm embarrassed to say that I'm born and bred in Pennsylvania. I'm from the eastern side of the state.
Okay.
I am a Steelers fan. And I've driven by Pittsburgh, but I've never been to Pittsburgh. I've heard the stories about the transformation transformation of the city in the last couple decades. It is everything I expected. I mean, it is a modern city. It's very welcoming. And, you know, our visit down to the EIC today, watching what they're doing down there is amazing.
There's some great stuff happening.
It's amazing. It really
Especially around
is,
energy technologies around here as well, too. We've got a nice crop of companies that are addressing a lot of the things that you guys are looking at.
They are. And those are the sort of good stories I can take back to the map
very
and
much
say,
so.
This is the good news.
We want to be part of the solution here. We think we have some innovation that will definitely help that way.
We need people to agree that there's a problem. And then we can go about designing the solution to it.
Thank you so much for your time talking
to us.
Appreciate your service to our country, without a doubt. And once again, CNA.org to learn more about it. And we've got a great tech vibe in front of you tonight. We have Seton Hill College, we have Deloitte, and we have Chris Havely, the founder of MapQuest, stopping by. Great interviews coming your way. Once again, this is Jonathan Kirsting from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. You're listening to Tech Vibe Radio here on KDKA. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council, and we are talking to Dimitri Shirey here at Deloitte. Dimitri, I love talking to you on Tech Vibe Radio. You always bring the best insights when it comes to workforce development.
Jonathan, it's great to be back on the show. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I mean, you're a thought leader in this area. You know, you author articles in TEQ. You have material out there everywhere. And so when it comes to workforce development, you come to mind immediately. That's what it comes down to.
Well, if I can steal an old line from the Beatles song, I get by with a little help from my friends.
There you go. I love it.
So it truly is a team effort with a collection of other professionals here in the Western Pennsylvania community that really have stepped up and made some significant contributions in looking at the future of labor supply and labor demand here in Western Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. Before we get rolling, just to reset with our listeners, just who is Dimitri Shirey? Give us a quick little 30-second plug about who you are and what you do here at Deloitte.
Jonathan, I'm very fortunate to serve as the managing partner for Deloitte here in the Pittsburgh and the Western Pennsylvania region. I've been with the firm over 38 years with a significant focus within manufacturing, financial services, and energy.
That's fantastic. So let's start nerding out when it comes to workforce stuff. You just penned a really nice article in our latest issue of TEQ Magazine, looking at the inflection point 2017-2018 study, which really, when that came out originally, I think in 2016, this was the updated version of the report. It got a lot of people thinking, because there's some startling information in this report.
So you're absolutely right. The initial report was launched in May of 2016. And part of the commitment was that this would be a living and breathing document, that every year there would be a refresh, an update.
That's
in
so
order
important
to understand
right.
what changed from the initial issuance of Inflection Point. And 2017 was the first time that we put the toe in the water with respect to refreshing the study and also looking at changes that occurred since the report was originally issued. And
sure.
quite frankly, there's been some remarkable changes even in that 12-month period
really?
Of time.
So we're actually seeing changes within... I guess that actually makes sense because I think about workforce and how quickly the skill sets change, that the technology is accelerating everything. And at the Pittsburgh Technology Council, our members, it's all about workforce to them. Without the right workers with the right skills, they can't go anywhere.
It is. But the change, if I can be specific, really is pinpointed on four regional types of investments that occurred since the original issuance of Inflection
Point. Cool. Let's start talking about them.
So, you know, first of all, you know, you have the uptick in autonomous vehicles and everything that goes with it relative to some of the new entrants here in the marketplace with respect to AV. Then you have additive manufacturing, which has also created a buzz here in Western Pennsylvania based upon some regional investments by GE. Layer on top of that, robotics and the ethane cracker, which has been underway now for the last couple of years, what you are finding is that you have relatively a static workforce where there is increasing pressure being exerted on the same people who have the types of skills that are being clamored for by these different investments that have been made.
Wow, so it's creating these gaps then.
It's creating these gaps, and it's also creating a potential environment where Peter is going to rob to pay Paul.
Exactly.
Because there is opportunity, there is an uptick in employment. As we know, we are at an all-time low, not just on a national basis, but you know, we're approaching that here in Western Pennsylvania as well.
Exactly.
And so what we're finding is that there is increased pressure on a supply of people that, you know, needs to translate into future jobs.
Absolutely, absolutely. So tell us, like, why is Deloitte really gets behind this? I mean, it's one of these things where it really kind of separates you apart from you know, your competitors out there, for lack of a better term. Because obviously, as you know, without the workers, we don't go anywhere. What's Deloitte's take on why you put your energies towards looking at these workforce issues?
Well, first of all, in order to have vibrant clients, you need a vibrant economy.
Absolutely.
In order to have a vibrant economy, you need to have a vibrant workforce.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there is an element of here that this is not only good for business, but this is good for the region.
For sure.
And at the end of the day, when you look at any professional services firm, including Deloitte, we live and breathe based upon the pipeline of talent that we are able to attract and retain.
Very much so.
Because as a service organization, we don't manufacture a product, we deliver a service, and
exactly.
We're only good at delivering that service as the competency of the people that we hire.
Oh, for sure, for sure. So maybe let's talk more about like what's going on with some of the trends here within our workforce here. You mentioned some big changes within a year, which I think is kind of really interesting, the fact that, you know, it is moving as quickly. I always see these things at first and you say, it's going to take a generation to look at this, but that's not the case anymore. We're seeing these more rapid changes.
We're seeing these more rapid changes, and if there's one area that I would point to that has really jumped on inflection point with both feet, really has been academia. So when you look at, you know, many of the post-secondary institutions here in Western Pennsylvania, they truly have embraced inflection point, and they have begun to do something about it. Whether it's the University of Pittsburgh, Duquesne University, Carlo University, Carnegie Mellon, all of the major universities here in Western Pennsylvania have embraced inflection point, recognizing that they need to change their game with the type of product that they are providing to future employers. And one that, quite frankly, is really focused on baseline or soft skills, in addition to, of course, the core technical competencies that are imparted in the educational
environment.
Those
two coming together.
Those two need to come together because, quite frankly, the technical skills are table stakes. It is a given that the recruits that are being brought on board have the core technical competencies in order to do the job. But what is the icing on the cake is truly having those baseline or soft skills that are focused around customer service, problem solving, communication skills. They continue to grow to importance, and those are talents that people are going to need to have. And quite frankly, not just with respect to new recruits, but also with respect to individuals who are currently in the workplace that will be in the workplace for some time. So said another way, this is an evolution.
Yeah.
And the idea that, you know, when you acquired a certain portfolio of skills at the outset of you entering the workforce, they would see you through the remainder of your career has dramatically changed.
Those days are gone.
Those days are gone.
I wish they were still here. No,
and this is really about lifelong learning.
I was going to ask you
about and being agile and nimble.
You just asked the question I was going to ask you. I wanted to talk about the lifelong learning because I think that's all leads up to this, is the fact that we never stop learning because the skill sets are so rapidly changing in this day and age. So we need to have these minds that just want to keep learning more and acquiring new skills.
And, you know, I do think there's an opportunity here for employers to really become actively involved in the solution, specifically with respect to post-secondary education institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea that an employer wants a certain type of competency needs to be communicated so that the academic institution can embrace it and prepare for what are the skills and competencies that are in market demand. So basically, alignment between the marketplace and the academic institution.
I've been seeing a lot of that lately. I've been talking to a lot of the smaller schools, and they've been rapidly being able to work with industry, see the skill sets, and then adapt their curriculum right to it, which to me is just fascinating, because now you're seeing people getting skills and then right into the workforce, which I think is obviously what we need.
And when you look at this region and you look at some of the investments that have been made, particularly over the course of the last year, there is going to need to be an opportunity to accelerate the speed to value with respect to having individuals develop and obtain those qualified competencies, and then deploy them in the employment environment.
Yes, we've got about a minute left. What's the future?
Well, again, what's interesting here is that last week we happened to hear from the president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland,
right.
Dr. Loretta Mester, and she is very optimistic about the economy for our region. However, when asked what might be an obstacle or a bump in the road that we need to overcome in order to sustain the momentum that we've created over the course of the last 7 to 10 years.
Right.
It's workforce.
It's more people,
and it's more people with the right complement of skills to satisfy market demand.
That's why I'm so glad that you're authoring articles like this and we're having conversations like this, so it gets more people in the know and gets people activated to be thinking about this, because that's how we're going to make this get better, how we're going to improve and keep pace with the rest of the world, for crying out loud. So, Dimitri, if people want to learn more about Deloitte, with Deloitte.com?
Yes.
Just that simple. Dimitri Shirey, managing partner here in Pittsburgh. You're the man when it comes to all things workforce and everything else. Dimitri, thank you so much for taking the time and talking to us today.
Jonathan, once again, thanks for having me on the show.
Great stuff. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council here in Tech Vibe Radio. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. Welcome back to Tech Vibe Radio. So glad you are spending your Friday night with us, giving you the best and the brightest of what's happening across Pittsburgh's technology sector. And I tell you what, it is June. No better time than June the 6th and June the 7th, because it is our Create Festival. Go to createpgh.org and you can learn all about this awesome festival we've been putting on for the past 4 or 5 years now. Actually, it's been 10 years since we kind of started this, but it's turned into a full festival format in the past 4 or so years. And this year, it's all happening downtown at the August Wilson Center, kicking off on June 6th with our Creativity Summit. And really can't encourage enough people to go and check this thing out. It's really at the leading edge of everything that's happening here, tech-wise, creative-wise, and art-wise, all here in the Pittsburgh area. So on June the 7th is really when the meat of this event kind of happens. And from 12 to 4 is our Innovation Salon. You can interact with some of the latest creatives and artists and technologists in the field here in Pittsburgh. That same day from 1 to 3 is also our Idea Fest. Now, the Idea Fest is kind of like a bunch of TED Talks where we have some of the brightest minds on stage talking about what they're working on and what they're innovating. And these are free to the public to stop on by at the August Wilson Center, to stroll in and check it out. You will be entertained and engaged, I swear. So much fun. So looking forward to this. Now, later in that day, on June the 7th, we have some paid events that you can attend as well, too. We have our Create Party, which is a mix and mingle that starts at 5 o'clock. And then at 7 o'clock is our Creative Industry Awards, where we're handing out a bunch of awards for projects across the region, actually across the nation, really at the intersection of creativity and technology. Interactive projects, apps, you name it, you know, people who are making stuff. It is just an amazing thing. It's too much to even describe. You got to check it out for yourself. So go to createpgh.org and learn all about it. Encourage you to attend. So our next segment, we're talking to Seton Hill University. Really cool college, and they are just at the forefront of providing really some leading-edge curriculum to give students the skills they need for jobs that are happening today. You know, whether it's in like cybersecurity or big data, they're really trying to stay in step with what's going on with industry. And I was really excited to interview their president so you can learn more about what they're up to. A lot of fun stuff there, a lot of transformative things. And it's just always great to put a spotlight on these types of stories to really see how, you know, the whole ecosystem kind of comes together. So we'll give this one a spin and we'll be right back. And we're talking to a really great school today. Some, I call one of the unsung heroes as to what's going right here in the region. That is Seton Hill. And we have Mary Finger here, the president. And you've been there for, what, 3 years now?
4 years. Just
4 years
finishing
now.
Up 4 years.
That's
right?
Crazy. I guess time is moving by faster than I can even keep up with.
Yeah, it really
so
is. Absolutely.
You must be having a good time being president at Seton Hill.
I am. It's a wonderful institution. I inherited a great institution. A lot of wonderful leadership that predated me. So
that's always
helpful.
I love it. So quickly, talk to the listeners about yourself. Who is Mary Finger? What gets you out of bed every morning?
Well, I'm president of Seton Hill, and that's what gets me out of bed every morning. It's a great institution. I've been in higher education administration for 30 plus years, and been in small institutions, a few large institutions. This is my fourth Catholic institution.
Wow.
Yeah, and so wonderful synergy between my own personal values and being in a Catholic Setonian
Absolutely.
Institution. Yeah.
Very, very cool. And what made it interesting to say, I'm going to Seton Hill, I want to be president there? Because you came from Milwaukee, of course.
No, I came from Chicago.
Okay.
I was at DePaul University in Chicago, the largest Catholic university in the country, large place. And before that, a school in Milwaukee. But it was that this is a small institution just outside of Pittsburgh, and it has done amazingly creative and entrepreneurial things.
Right.
And it's really, at a time when liberal arts institutions, small institutions, are really kind of struggling to know who they are in many cases, this is an institution that has a history of being on the cusp and always looking forward and not being afraid to try new things.
I love that. And I'm going to talk more about that in a minute because you're doing some great new curriculum that I'm excited to talk to you about. Before we do that, just a couple stats about the school. How many students go there? How many people graduate every year?
Well, good question. We have about 2,200 mm-hmm. students, and that's traditional undergraduates, and we get a large resident population. We also serve a non-traditional over 24-year-old student population.
And that's a growing segment.
It is a growing segment. And we do that both in the classroom and online in a hybrid and also a hybrid format. Mm-hmm. And then we have some really strong graduate programs as well.
Absolutely. So being a small school, you can react really quickly. And our market keeps changing. The skills keep evolving. And you guys are keeping pace with it, which I think is so exciting. In particular, when it comes to data analytics and cybersecurity. Tell us about those programs. Yeah. This is really cool stuff.
Well, I mean, we have just an amazing faculty that are doing not only making sure that they are keeping curriculum current
right.
in their own fields, but also really taking a look at the broader environment.
Okay.
And so, we have been very fortunate here in Pittsburgh to have this resource inflection point that Allegheny Conference
Everybody
did.
Brings that survey. I really encourage our listeners to go check that out because it gives you some startling and very scary but very poignant data and about where the workforce is going these days.
Right. Absolutely. And they update it. And so this is research that, you'd have to pay lots and lots of money for this research,
exactly.
and we can benefit from it. And, about 75% of our students come from southwestern Pennsylvania, and 80% of them stay. So what we know about our students is that they want to live in southwestern Pennsylvania, they want to live in the Pittsburgh area, they want to raise their children, contribute to their communities, and so it's incredibly important to us that we align our curriculum with the needs of the community.
Right, so you're in the community working with the employers that are out there knowing
Absolutely.
What skills do you need? And
yes.
then they're coming back saying, we need this. So then you develop these new curriculums to provide that pipeline of talent.
We started an Office of Innovation and Academic Programming. A lot of small schools don't have the time or the resources
right.
to do R&D the way larger institutions do. And this grant enabled us, it was a grant from the R.K. Mellon Foundation, it enabled us to have that space. We have a half-time director, we have some marketing dollars, we have some funding for our faculty to develop new curriculum. And so it's been a great return on investment. And a piece of that, the Office of Innovation and Academic Programming Planning, rather, has a group of advisory board that is made up of people from across the area. It's people from major industry, people
right.
from healthcare, people from nonprofits, and so when we have when we've started these new programs, we also talk to them about, specifically when we're looking at data analytics, for example,
okay.
what is it we need in
right.
And so what we've done with data analytics is that it's a combination of business and computer science, but we've also created a way for students to get a strong minor. So it's data analytics, but you can get a minor in finance. You can get a minor in accounting.
And that's the secret sauce.
That's
because
the secret
you
sauce.
Need that extra skill behind it. It's
exactly.
not just the one area, but then being able to provide that along with the general education you get from Seton Hill.
Right.
Through you're graduating some really well-rounded individuals.
We are. The liberal arts piece of the institution, the liberal arts core, is provides our students not only with the ability to do the data analytics, but also to talk about it.
Definitely.
It's also to translate it. It's also to look at the trends.
Right.
So it's the critical.
Make it relevant.
Make it relevant. Critical reasoning skills and presentation skills and conversation skills. So, you know, it's one thing to have the data. It's another thing to be able to apply and to talk about how important it is and what it means.
Very exciting stuff.
It is exciting.
Now, what about the use of technology in the classroom?
Yeah.
That's definitely a differentiator.
It is. It is. We were the first institution in the country to provide iPads to all of our students.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. You need a big billboard. Along Route 22.
Right. There you go. There you go. Right. That was in 2009 when we started our mobile technology program. And since that time, we have been an Apple Distinguished School for the last 9 years.
Very cool.
Which is an Apple Distinguished
School. I think I want to go to your school now. I need to get a degree or an extra degree of some kind, just so I can get some gear.
That's why I never left. You know, that's a great thing about being president is you never really leave college. But yeah, it's an amazing. And we got a title. We got a federal grant to really do curriculum across the technology across the curriculum. So
absolutely.
Our faculty were trained in how to use technology. We looked at how technology is appropriate for all the different disciplines, and so our students graduate not only with real strong academic preparation and the liberal arts, but they also have this value-added piece of using technology in a very current way.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's very
powerful stuff.
It is
without
powerful.
A doubt.
One of the reasons they come to Seton Hill is because of the technology program.
I believe it. That would be definitely it's a differentiating factor.
It is.
For the school. So we got a couple minutes left. I'm always wondering about the future, and it's always hard to predict. But obviously, you've seen the increasing pace of change. What's Seton Hill thinking about next? What, especially when it comes to lifelong learning? At the end of the day, like, we all need to be thinking about ways we can continually polish our skills.
Absolutely. Yeah, it really is. I mean, you never stop. You never stop going to school.
I tried stopping and it didn't work.
It doesn't work. Dang. No, you're in the wrong area.
I made it to 11th grade and I stopped.
I think that we have a lot of other new academic programs in the pipeline. One that is actually on the ground now is cybersecurity.
Yep.
And we have a wonderful partnership with, you know, one of your neighbors, the National Cyber Forensics and Training Alliance. And
absolutely.
We're the only undergraduate cybersecurity program in the country that has that alliance. And that's been an extraordinary opportunity for our students to both intern and for that group to help us with some curriculum.
Oh.
Everything from what's happening in the dark web to what are the future trends and how to be current. So it's cybersecurity, it's healthcare programs, it is all kinds of new academic programs, but it's
definitely.
Also making sure that we provide that liberal arts space,
mm-hmm.
because we're preparing them for a career for multiple changes in their lives.
Exactly.
And so that's what we do collectively.
I love it. People want to learn more about Seton Hill and all the great things you're up to. Learn about the technology that you guys are deploying and the different tech programs you have. Where can they go and check you guys out?
We're on the web. It's seatonhill.edu.
I can even remember seatonhill.edu.
Yeah.
I really encourage everyone to check it out, because, like I said, it's these colleges and universities that are really making the Pittsburgh region pop. It's so many great resources here.
Yeah.
How much fun to talk to Mary Finger here from Seton Hill.
Well, thanks for having me
today.
Thank you for having
great,
me.
Great stuff.
I really appreciate it.
Hey, this is Jonathan Kirsten with Tech Vibe Radio. I'll be right back after this quick break. Thanks for keeping your dial tuned right here to Tech Vibe Radio here on KDKA. This is Jonathan Kirsting. And I tell you what, I get to have so much fun. I get to do some really cool things like moderate panel discussions at the Startup Alleghenies, as I did last month out in Seven Springs. It was really great to see some of the best and brightest minds from around the region coming together to talk about how to build more entrepreneurial communities. And as part of that, they brought in a really cool keynote speaker, Chris Hively. He's one of the founders of MapQuest, and he's now running actually a division of TechStars, which is a really cool organization that really inspires and encourages and promotes entrepreneurship, especially around the technology sector throughout the country. And he was the keynote speaker and really got to bring his insights as to what makes entrepreneurial scenes tick and click, for lack of a better term. And I got the opportunity to interview him a little bit about what he's going to talk about at his presentation, and to bring some key insights as to what he thinks is really going to drive innovation within regions, especially regions that are on the more rural side as well too, as what's going on the outside of Pittsburgh. So too much fun to talk to him and learn what he was going to do. I think you will agree that this guy really knows what's going on, and so happy to bring you his insights right about now.
love taking the show on the road, grabbing interviews where I can find them and when they're lined up for me. And honestly, I couldn't be more excited to be hanging out at the startup Alleghenies. Really, some foundational stuff is happening here to really create entrepreneurship and business creation, you know, outside of the Pittsburgh region and around. And we have a great, great interview with us, Chris Hively. This, you're like a tech superstar. And it's hard. I'm going to have you kind of introduce yourself and kind of talk about some of the key things that you've done in the past and really the most exciting things, what you're doing now with TechStars and everything like that. So, Chris, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, it's happy to be here.
So, Chris Hively. Who is Chris Hively, first off?
Well, when people ask me that question, my default answer is I cause trouble everywhere I go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Very stir the pot, man.
Stir it, man. Stir it. So, what does stirring the pot mean for you?
Stirring the pot means just making stuff happen, seeing how you can make a difference individually and collectively as a group. And, you know, that's kind of feels entrepreneurship in a way. So I've been an entrepreneur for most of my life.
And, right.
I've had, you know, the requisite numbers of success and failures.
Tell us about some of those successes and failures, because you have some pretty interesting successes here that I think our listeners would be like, I think I might know this guy.
Sure. Well, I might have been the dumb one of a group of four or five of us that started MapQuest back in the day.
Oh, geez.
And, yeah. So, I mean, the cool thing that your listeners would love to know is that probably unknown to them is that we started MapQuest in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
That in Lancaster?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Because you left some Philadelphia roots, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, I came to Lancaster via D.C., so.
Okay.
But it's just more.
A little circuitous, but still, nonetheless.
Still made it back to Amish Town or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, I was a geographer, undergraduate and graduate degree in geography, and loved computers in late 70s, early 80s, which makes me really old and geeky. But just was lucky enough to be able to kind of jam those two things together and spent 15 years in the Mac
business. So you sold that, obviously, and made a good nickel on that, and then that's kind of what that got you started more than anything, right?
Sure, because once you get a taste of that kind of high, then you want that.
Back.
You can't go back. And so then, you know, I'm your typical kind of ADD, you know, entrepreneur guy. I
Absolutely.
Do things for 3 to 5 years, get bored, and move on to something else. So I've been an investor. I've been an angel investor. I ran a corporate venture fund. I would be the guy that investors parachute into an existing company
exactly.
to be the adult supervisor.
To be the adult supervisor?
Yeah.
There's a profit and loss on this balance sheet.
Exactly. What's a balance sheet, Dad?
Well, we'll start with that.
Yeah. And then the last 8-10 years kind of morphed into this kind of community builder
right.
around TechStars and how do you kind of a new age incubator, how do you get more entrepreneurship firing? And it's an awesome mission.
I mean, we could talk for an entire show about how do we get this stuff going. We have such limited time and it drives me nuts. I want to get to the heart of this stuff. I mean, obviously, you've been dubbed the startup whisperer. You have your startup factory and you're now working with TechStars with Brad Feld, who, I mean, he's like one of the dudes out there,
the
for lack of a better term. The dude's dude, exactly. It's really talking about how communities can embrace and promote and make entrepreneurship, especially tech entrepreneurship, flourish.
Yeah, so what's the secret?
Yeah.
The secret is, first of all, no entrepreneurs, no entrepreneurial community. So a lot of times...
Very good point. Got to start with the entrepreneurs.
Yeah, we forget that. Like, we think, you know, we're going to kind of organize, you know, a startup community. Well, and then they start doing all these things. We need space. We need capital. I'm like, yeah, good. Let's find some entrepreneurs.
With the
mindset. And let's start creating a community around them. Even if it's 5 or 25 or 50, let's find those entrepreneurs. Let's bring them together. And then let's help them. I always tell people that if you're wondering how you can help your startup community, go find an entrepreneur and help them be successful.
Exactly.
Their success will create community success. So put the entrepreneur like front and center, and everything else will kind of derive from that.
Without a doubt. Especially, I mean, in this day and age, we're seeing, you know, it's really the small companies that are the big employers right now. You don't see many folks coming out of school with, I want to work for the big corporations. We're seeing more of a mindset of people saying, no, I want to create my own thing. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, when I was coming out of college, I didn't even know what an entrepreneur was. And I guess I was one, but I didn't know it until years later. But, you know, today with the way media and the way things are covered, you know, and things like Facebook and Google, you know, and go back even to Yahoo or AOL, definitely there's this kind of wave where at least more people are aware of being an entrepreneur. And obviously thinking that in that is some kind of more control over what you are, who you are, which is, you know, very much a 2018 type of thing.
Absolutely.
Versus a 1980s or 90s kind of thing.
Oh, God, now I'm feeling old.
let me get my walker. Hold
exactly.
On.
It's next to my walker. Mine has the streamers on the end. Exactly.
So you're talking today about, talking with the startup Alleghenies today, and you're going to be talking about what it takes. Give us a couple of key points you're going to be making in today's talk.
Sure. One of the keys is, I like to say, connect over coordinate. So okay. A lot of times, you know, we want to try to get everyone together in a room, and we'll have to create, events or activities. I'm like, all right, that's cool. The best thing you do is connect people. Hundreds and hundreds of times connect people.
Connect, right?
Because if you think about, as an entrepreneur, you're going to run out of time or money, right, before your,
always happens.
Your business, right?
Exactly.
So speed and urgency is really the premium here. And so if you can help someone by introducing them to someone that can help them do something, I just say connect. I personally spend about half an hour a day doing nothing but making intros between people. I don't ask them permission. I just like, you two should know each other and do that.
Here's why, and blink up.
Yeah.
Damn it.
9 years ago in Raleigh-Durham, where I live now, which I was new to the community, and when I was starting this activity, with inspiration from Brad Feld, I went out and had 275 coffees, lunches, and end-of-day frosty beverage
meetings. End-of-day frosty beverage meetings. Those are my favorite.
275 in 5 months.
Whoa.
Now, you start to do the math, and I can tell you that 8 years later, fast forward, I have met one-on-one with at least 3,500 people.
I believe it.
And I do that. I give myself, of myself to the community, and anybody can come in and talk for 20 minutes about anything, and then I connect people and help them out. You do that over and over and over again, this little network starts to form.
Exactly right.
And by the way, that doesn't cost anything, and you can all start it tomorrow.
I love it, man. That is so, so cool. So we're talking to Chris Hively here with Startup Factory and Tech Stars, and you're awesome, an author. Tell us about this book you just wrote.
Well, yeah, so not bad for a guy who failed freshman English in college at Westchester University.
Exactly.
Over there on the eastern side of PA. I taught myself how to write a little bit, and I enjoy it, and it was on my bucket list to do.
Right.
So one day I just sat down and said, all right, I got an idea. And the funny thing is, one of my better friends and colleagues who wrote the first MapQuest software, Marshall Clark, and he and I worked together 3 times. We always used to use the metaphor of building a fort in ways of like, how are we going to start something, this new idea? And like the first, in this metaphor, the first question he would ask is, all right, where are we going to steal the wood? Right?
I love
Which
it.
Which is kind of a fort thing.
There's
right?
a pile of wood somewhere and we're taking it.
Remember, this is a metaphor.
Right.
So when I thought about writing a book and sharing my experiences, and my desire was to kind of simplify everything.
Exactly.
Because we as adults, we
overthink
complex,
yeah.
and we're all our own worst enemies, right? There's that voice in our head that's evil and, creates all this doubt and fear. So the book is an attempt to just say it's an easy read, it's fun, you'll chuckle, you'll smile, but it uses the kind of build the fort metaphor as a way to think about, all right, I want to do this, I have an idea, mm-hmm. how do I get started?
Right.
So it's like that first kind of just a couple months of thinking about, I'm going to try to do this and how to do that.
I think I encourage everyone to go check out. Can you find it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon, yeah.
Okay.
Build a fort.
Build a fort. I mean, check it out. I just got a copy of it. I'm going to read it this weekend. I'm very excited. No, because, these are the things that we're trying to do in Pittsburgh and the region around here. It's just so important for us to build that mindset, to have the infrastructure around it, and to have you talking to us today.
Yeah.
I think it's just so exciting. So any kind of, final thoughts? Like, what else? What should we be thinking about as a community when it comes to, promoting entrepreneurship and really, that fail fast and embrace failure type of attitude? What else can we be thinking about?
So I'm going to kind of double back and maybe double down on something I said before, which is about people connecting to people.
Right.
And one of the, in Build a Fort, there's kind of 5 kind of rules or 5 steps. And the first step is to socialize your idea without fear and inhibition.
Interesting.
Get it out of your own head, because sitting in your own head, it can only go so far.
Exactly.
I like to say when you're the only one in the room, every decision is perfect.
Right? You can convince yourself of anything
you
as well, too, right?
Anything. to go through a day without one healthy rationalization, right? So to that end, whether you're talking about community or your own idea, is get it out of you and go talk to other people. Believe me, everyone wants to help. The natural DNA of an entrepreneur is I got an opinion. Let me help you with that.
Exactly.
And so if you don't ask, shame on you. So, you know, I think the best advice I can give people is whether you're talking about helping to build your community or grow your community or whether it's a startup or, you know, put yourself out there and connect with people
right,
be honest and, you know, open and transparent, and great stuff will happen.
That's so cool. Got about a minute or so left. How about embracing failure? Thoughts on that?
So one of the things I typically tell people is that, all right, so let's run through the worst and best case scenarios of whatever it is. Are you alive?
Check. You're doing good.
Okay, then everything after that is just noise, right?
Exactly right.
And especially in this day and age, like the failure and fear of failure is an impediment to progress, right? And believe me, even with my success and 58 years of old, did I say 58?
You did.
Mumble that part a little bit. But what I'll tell you is I have fears. I have doubts about ideas. But I conquer that by getting it out of my head, getting it with other people. And it's funny when you share something with someone else and they start nodding their head in the right direction.
Exactly.
There's a confidence in that. So, like, that's how I conquer fear. And that's how I would encourage others to kind of take a stab at it.
Chris Hively, thanks for taking the time. You were wanted to go on stage. They're looking at me, giving me the eye like he's got to go. You've got a big crowd waiting for you out there, Chris. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks, man.
This is Jonathan Kirstein with Tech Vibe Radio. So glad you dialed in with us tonight. Dial in every single Friday night here on KDKA. Learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. After all that, have an awesome weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.